All right. Well, we made it. We made it to Ruth. This is our last class. And so we weren't sure if we were going to make it to the book of Ruth, and we did. So now we just got to make it through it. The handout that I had, basically the breakdown for these four chapters is per chapter. So chapter one, we learn of Ruth, and we see that she goes with her mother-in-law, to Bethlehem. And then in chapter two, we see that Ruth gleans from the fields of Boaz. And chapter three, we see that Ruth appeals to Boaz to redeem her. And then in chapter four, Boaz marries Ruth, and she bears Obed, the father of Jesse, the father of David. So we'll talk about some of the lineage as well. So in this first section, in Ruth 1:1, it starts out giving us a little bit of background on of what's going on. First, we see that this is in the time of Judges, and also during a famine in the land. So we really see how Naomi got where she was, and it speaks to the situation that she is in. In verse 1b, like we said, it tells about this famine. And because of this famine, there was a certain man, it says, of Bethlehem in Judah, went to sojourn in the land of Moab with his wife, Naomi, and two sons. So because of this famine, he's searching, and he ends up in Moab. So verse 2, it says, and the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem and Judah. Now they entered the land of Moab and remained there. So we see in verse 3 that the husband dies, and then she's left with her two sons, and which both of them end up marrying Moabite women. And it says that they remained in Moab about 10 years. If we look at verse 4, it said they took themselves Moabite women as wives. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they lived there about 10 years. So now we see Ruth entering into this. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So now Naomi's husband has died, and both her sons have died. And it said that the woman, Naomi, was bereft, and of her two children and her husband. So now she's without husband and without two sons in this other land. You know, this story is about Ruth, but we will see that Naomi plays a part in it. And because Ruth would not end up in Bethlehem if it wasn't for Naomi, if it wasn't for her loyalty and the care for her mother-in-law. And if it wasn't for her mother-in-law returning to her land. I posed a question: besides Naomi losing her husband and two sons, why is she wanting to return to her land, according to verse 6? What's it state there in verse 6? Okay, so there was food there. So if we remember in verse 1, it told us that there was a famine, and they had left, and Now the famine's gone. Said, then she arose with her daughters. This is verse 6. She arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the land of Moab, for she heard in the land of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she hears that the Lord had visited his people to give them food. So we also see that it states a certain time when she returned back to Bethlehem. It was the beginning of something. And what was that? Okay. So the beginning of barley harvest. So, and that's going to kind of play in a part into our next section. We learn of Boaz in this next section when we get into chapter 2. It states that he was a man of wealth and a kinsman of Naomi's husband. It says, now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. Now, we'll speak to it here in a little bit, but when we're reading through some of this, consider that, because starting in this chapter, we see the idea of kinsman and someone that is a relative and stuff like that. So we'll build upon what that's alluding to or what it's talking about as we go on. But just keep that in mind, because that's we start seeing that here in chapter 2:1. So he's a kinsman of Naomi's husband. And then we see in the next couple of verses, we see that Ruth was willing to work. It said that in verse 2, Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. So she just happened to end up in the portion of the field belonging to Boaz. So, and then we see in the following verse, you just might want to note that we see who their faith is in. It said, now behold, Boaz came to Bethlehem and said to the reapers, may the Lord be with you. And they said to him, may the Lord bless you. And we see in verses 6 and 7 that Boaz notices Ruth and asks his servants, the servant that was in charge of the reapers, he asks the servant, who is this? So, verse 6, the servant in charge of the reapers answered and said, she is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. Thus she came and has remained from the morning until now. She has been sitting in the house for a little while. So we see her working in the fields. And then we're going to have some interaction that we'll see in between her and Boaz. They seem to see something in each other. He asked her to stay in his field in verse 8 after he had acquired who she was. Boaz said to Ruth, listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw. And then Ruth responds. she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your sight, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" On the lesson, I put a question on there. What does Boaz think about her? What's stated in verse 11? Her what?
She responds about her parents.
Okay.
The death of her husband and the death of Naomi's husband.
Okay. Yeah, so he responds about her character. He says, "Hey, that he knows about her." He answered and said to her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me." So he knew all about what she had done and how you left your father and mother and the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know. So all of that had been reported to him. And he mentions that to her. And then lost my spot for a second, sorry. So verse 13, Ruth states that, like we said, she had found favor with him, and he noticed, or she noticed, how he treats her. She said, "I found favor in your sight," verse 13, "my Lord, for you have comforted me, and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." Again, she mentions, you know, she is not like one of his maidservants. And we also see the instructions that he gives his servants when it comes to her. He said in verse 14, that is not what I'm looking for. 15. "When she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servants, saying, 'Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not insult her. And also you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her.'" So he's given us instructions to basically leave her alone, let her do this. And verse 18, she returns to her mother-in-law, Naomi, and Naomi asked her where she had worked that day, and Ruth told her that it was with Boaz. And Naomi's response, she said, "May he be blessed of the Lord, who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead." Again, Naomi said to her, "The man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives." So again, we're seeing this idea that he's a relative, one of the closest relatives. And talking about not withdrawing his kindness to the living and to the dead. I think that has to do with the family. And 21, Ruth says, "Furthermore, he said to me, 'You shall stay close to my servants until they have finished all my harvest.' And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, 'It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maids, lest others fall upon you in another field.'" So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. And she lived with her mother-in-law. So she remained there and continued to work. Now when you get into chapter 3, note what Naomi says in verse 1. I mean, although Naomi's bitter, we'll look at a couple of verses about that. But she does seem to care for Ruth and for Ruth's future. In verse 1 it said, "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, 'My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you?' And now, is not Boaz our kinsman, with whose maids you were? Behold, he winnows barley at the threshing floor tonight." So, because of this, again, we see this, that he's a kinsman. We also see that Naomi is seeking security for Ruth. And then she starts to give instructions. Tells her that, "Wash your feet, therefore, and anoint yourself and put on your best clothes and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go and uncover his feet and lie down. Then he will tell you what you shall do." So Ruth said, "All that you say, I will do." Speaking to her mother-in-law. So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law had commanded her. So you get down into the story when Boaz was finished eating and drinking, and it says that his heart was merry. He went and lied down in the end of the heap of grain, and she came secretly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. And it happened in the middle of the night that the man was startled and bent forward, and behold, a woman was lying at his feet. So Boaz asks, "You know, who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your maid. So spread your covering over your maid, for you are a close relative." So this term, I'm reading from the New American Standard 77. And mine reads, "Spread your covering over your maid." So what does this term mean? If you look at the different versions, you'll see some different ways that it reads. You'll see, "Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid." That's the American Standard Version, and the King James Version both state it that way. "Spread your covering over your maid," like I read from NAS 77 and also NASB. I think that's the 95 edition. Reads the same. The ESV says, "Spread your wings over your servant." And the New King James is similar. It says, "Take your maid servant under your wing." So, like the idea of protection under your wing. But, is it more than that? Is it more than just protection? Consider what we've been talking about, this term that's been coming up since the beginning of chapter 2. We keep seeing the statement about Boaz being a kinsman, that he's a relative, a close relative, and terminology like that. We keep seeing that over and over. And then in this verse we just looked at in 3:9, when speaking about him covering her, it's because she wants Boaz to redeem her. You know, that's the whole idea of this being the close relative. So the verses falling will allude to what that means. And when you consider back, like we looked at in 3:1 about Naomi's statement, where she was saying that, "Shall I not seek security for you?" And then brings up Boaz is our kinsman. You know, this Boaz that you've been gleaning in his fields, he's our kinsman and gives her instructions on what to do. And then ultimately, when we get into chapter 4, I'm just going to mention two of the verses. We'll see more about that. But in 4:10, we see that's where Boaz acquires Ruth. And 4:13, she became his wife. So we see that all of these statements, that was what she was looking for. And that's what ends up happening. But before we are done with all of that, we see that there's some obstacles, if you will, that have to be gone over first. And we'll see those as we continue to read. So in verse 10, we see that he's pleased with her and understands her intentions. It says, then he said, may you be blessed of the Lord, my daughter. You have shown your last kindness to be better than the first by not going after young men, whether poor or rich. So if we don't understand what he's speaking of, then he says, and now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you whatever you ask. For all my people in the city know that you are a woman of excellence. And that's a statement about her morality. And he wants to redeem her, but knows that there is one closer than he that has this right. So as we'll see in chapter 4, this idea of redeeming has to do with land needing to be purchased from Naomi. And within that, we see that Ruth is acquired in the process with whoever purchases this land. So, and we'll look at that further when we get into chapter 4. But Boaz speaks to her comment of him being a close relative. So, verse 12, it says, now it is true, I am a close relative. However, there's a relative closer than I. So, the idea is there is someone before him that has the right before him. And he says, remain this night, and when morning comes, if he will redeem you, good, let him redeem you. But if he does not wish to redeem you, then I will redeem you. As the Lord lives, lie down until morning. So she's instructed to lie down till morning. And that's what she does. According to verse 14, it says, so she lay at his feet until morning and arose before one could recognize another. So it's still dark. And he said, let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. And so she does as what he had asked. And then when you get into verse 18, we learn something else also about Boaz or about the situation, because Naomi, speaking to Ruth, says, wait, my daughter, until you know how this matter turns out. And that's speaking back to, if the other guy will redeem you, let him redeem you. If not, then I will redeem you. And then she even says, for the man, talking about Boaz, the man will not rest until he has settled it today. So he's going to find out. He's going to check this out and see what his position is. So you get into chapter 4. In verse 1, what does Boaz do in verse 1 of chapter 4? Okay, why is he going to go do that? Who's he looking for? He's looking for the guy. He's going to go talk to the close relative. So, according to verse 2, what else did he do? Who else was involved?
He needed the other men to be a witness.
Okay. I heard the elders, and yeah, needed the other men to be a witness. So he's going to use these guys. And then in verse 3, he starts talking to the closest relative. He said to the closest relative, Naomi, who has come back from the land of Moab, has to sell a piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. And the close relative said that, yeah, he'll redeem it. Verse 4, he says that anyway. He said, so I thought to inform you, this is Boaz talking to him, I thought to inform you saying, buy it before those who are sitting here, the witnesses, and before the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if not, tell me that I may know, for there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am after you. So that's the idea that this guy has the right to redeem it first. But if he passes that right, then Boaz has the right. But the guy says, hey, I'll redeem it. Until verse 5. Because then Boaz said, okay, now on the day that you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also acquire Ruth, the Moabitess, the widow of the deceased, in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance. Now the story is going to start to change a little bit. The closest relative in verse 6 has said, he said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I jeopardize my own inheritance. Redeem it for yourself. You may have my right of redemption, for I cannot redeem it. So he doesn't want to jeopardize his inheritance by doing this. So he tells Boaz, you can redeem it. And then it starts going into some customs that they had. It said, now this was the custom in former times of Israel concerning the redemption and the exchange of land to confirm any matter. A man removed his sandal and gave it to another, and this was the manner of attestation in Israel. So we see what the closest relative does. He says to Boaz, buy it for yourself, and he does the very thing. He removes his sandal. Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are witnesses today that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon. So he redeems this. And then more about what entails in this redeeming, says verse 10, moreover, I have acquired Ruth, the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, to be my wife in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance, so that the name of the deceased may not be cut off from his brothers or from the court of his birthplace. You are witnesses today. So we see this take place. And we see, as mentioned, verse 13, so Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. He went in to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. And then you see in 18 through 22, this idea of, or not this idea, it's talking about the genealogy of David. But within these five verses, you'll notice that there's some things missing from the genealogy. So it skips some parts. But I also put on there to look at Matthew 1:1-17. Because when you look at the genealogy in Matthew 1:1-17, it gives more more details. Because the genealogy that we're seeing in Ruth skips a lot, and it's only mentioning these men. But when you read the genealogy in Matthew, you're going to see four women mentioned in those 17 verses. Five if you count Mary, Mother of Jesus. But there's these four women, and three of them were Gentile women. If you look at in Matthew 1:3, it talks about Tamar. Tamar was the mother of Perez. Now, Perez was mentioned in 4:18 of the genealogy that was in Ruth. And then you see in 1:5, it says, by Rahab. So Rahab was the mother of Boaz. Because it said, and to Boaz was born... Oh, skipped one. And to Salmon was born Boaz by Rahab. And we see Boaz in 4:21 of Ruth. And in 1:5 it also talked about Ruth. It said, and to Boaz was born Obed by Ruth. And we see that in 4:21 as well. We see Obed. And the fourth woman was in verse 6. It says, and to David was born Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. So we know that that's speaking of Bathsheba. But she wasn't a foreigner. And on my notes, I had some things to consider. We saw in, when we started, let's go back to Ruth. In Ruth 1:1, it stated that this was in the time of Judges. We saw that. And, you know, in our last class, we talked about the last five books of Judges. Now, when we looked at that on Sunday, what was the reoccurring statement we saw in that? And you should know because Steve preached on it as well. So what what was the reoccurring statement that we saw? Okay. So they did what was good in their own eyes. Yeah, there was no king of Israel. But what I'm focusing on is this: everybody did what was right in their own eyes. And we saw the results of that. So in those last five chapters of Judges, remember the results we looked at? We saw idolatry. We saw stealing, sacrilege, unbelief, pride, covetousness, lust for power, not being hospitable, homosexuality, brutality. We saw rape, murder, and then the intertribal war. We saw all these things in that time of Judges. And, you know, we did see that one little exception, sort of. When you think of the older gentleman, I mean, he was hospitable and had some kind of morals on, when it came to some things, but not when it came to what he was mentioning about his virgin daughter and the Levite's concubine. So again, we remember that everybody was doing what was right in their own sight. But think about what we read here in Ruth. It's still during the time of Judges, but we're not seeing that kind of things being brought out in this story. We see Naomi, and although bitter, she seems to be showing that she has a love for Ruth, her daughter-in-law. And Ruth definitely has a love for her mother-in-law, and she proves that. Boaz even stated it, as he had heard it from others. So it was evident how she treated her mother-in-law. And he stated, you know, she came to this land that she didn't even know. So, you know, consider that, and consider what we saw in Ruth. Not what was in the book, but talking about Ruth and Boaz. What they, their interaction. You know, their concern for one another. I also put on the lesson, what are some things we could learn about Ruth according to verse 1:8. And what did that talk about in 1:8? What was it referring back to?
Her loyalty to Naomi.
It stated she was good to her husband. Oh, well, you're correct. And with me, that is true. Which I bulked that with the second question. That is a true statement. What I was looking for, it talked about her, how she was good to her husband. And then, like Sally said, it does mention in the last part of it too, and with me, talking about Naomi, because she was the one speaking. So the other verses that are on there, 1:8 and 10 and 14, and then a couple in chapter 2, and then 3:5, these have to do with Naomi, her mother-in-law. So she loved her and treated her with respect. Yes, ma'am? Okay. Okay. So she had she definitely shows her kindness towards her mother-in-law. We see without a doubt, you know, you're saying that I will do whatever you say, I'll do that. So she trusted her mother-in-law. And then in verses 1:16 and 17 and 2:12, it states that she come to believe in God. You know, she was trying to please him. And note what we saw in 1:15 talking about the other daughter-in-law, Orpah. It said that she returned to her people and her gods. But that's not what we saw with Ruth. And like we mentioned, when she was working in the field, she seemed to be a hard worker. She wasn't lazy. And it states in 3:11, it talks about her morality. So she was some of the versions say a woman of excellence. So she had a high moral standard. And all of these different things that we're talking about, that's not what we saw when we were talking about the last book of Judges. Well, not just the last books either. But because we remember seeing their cycles and stuff that they kept going through. Yes, ma'am?
Oh, I was just going to say, it's just dawned on me that the book of Ruth does kind of hint to what's going on in the last 4 or 5 chapters of Judges.
Okay.
As far as both Naomi and Boaz are telling Ruth, stay close to his maid. He's telling her, stay close to my maid. Don't go into other fields. And again, that can be still him trying to protect her from all of the other stuff that's going on in the last part of the Judges.
Okay. Could be. I'm not positive if he's saying that, hey, I don't want you to go to these other fields. You can do this in mine.
Naomi says in 2:22 that you go out with his maid so that others do not fall upon you in another field.
Okay.
To me, that's just
way out. Okay. Yes, sir.
I don't know that we can pinpoint if that's exactly what's going on versus just in general evil. But I do like the compare and contrast of Ruth versus what's going on in the last five chapters. What I like about it, if you look at it, it's almost like bridging a gap. You know, you've got this kind of a macro view of what's going on in the nation of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And how they continually go through these cycles. And then now you've got this story of Ruth about this woman. It's going to propel us into, you know, how we get a king and his lineage. But it's also, you know, you think about it, regardless of whether it's in a good time or a bad time, this nation continues to fall away from God. And now we're looking at three upright people who are dealing with ungodliness, who are dealing with idolatry, who are dealing with Israelites living in the land with others that they didn't, other Gentiles that they didn't conquer, and they're concerned about doing what is right. They're concerned about loyalty. They're concerned about doing, you know, obeying the law
mm-hmm.
that God had, and that, you know, Joshua. I mean, it was this talk about Deuteronomy where you should be reading this law, and we know that the people didn't, and they had other. So to me, it's you can move out of this ungodliness, and you can kind of finish up Judges going, why in the world would God save this people? Into there are still righteous, wholesome, good-hearted people from the standpoint of loving your neighbor and wanting to do what's right. Without reading too far into it, but from this story, you see that Naomi is trying to do what's right.
Mm.
Ruth is loyal to her. She knows of their God.
Right.
And she trusts Naomi and she trusts Boaz to treat her righteously, rightly. And then Boaz wanting to abide by the law to do what's right. It's a refreshing story as you move forward to maybe give you another glimpse as to why maybe God would want to save these people. They're not all wicked. And if this isn't, to Don's point, if this isn't that time where they're dealing with it, how much greater of the story it is that they are willing to stand up to the evils and the
different things that
they're
going on
at
that time.
Yeah. Okay. Josh?
And she's a Moabite. And there's, you know, in Deuteronomy, Moabites are specifically mentioned as not, you know, to be entering into the thing. So she has courage to enter into a land where it's even about Moabites, you know, to not incorporate them. And that's interesting that it's mentioned in the law, Moabites not to incorporate, and then from that mother comes David. How it goes, like, you know, bringing in the total people.
Yes, sir. How long do I have, Michael? Is that a minute? Give me just 1 minute. Okay, I just wanted to state real quick, okay, because we mentioned how Naomi was bitter. In verse 113, she states that, would you therefore refrain from, you know, there we go. Look for 13b. She's talking about, after her statement, she said, for the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me. So she thinks that God is against her. And we see a statement in 20, same chapter, 20 through 21. It said, do not call me Naomi, because that's when she returned and they say, is that Naomi? And then she said, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi? Since the Lord has witnessed against me and the Almighty has afflicted me. So she thinks the Lord is against her. But can't we see in this book that he's really not, and he uses her. And if you look at 4:14, and then we'll be done. We'll be done, Michael. 4:14 says, then the woman said to Naomi, blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today, and may his name become famous in Israel. So the Lord wasn't against Naomi. And that's all the time we have. Thank you for all your comments and questions and all of that. We're done with the quarter, so Rocky will be teaching Sunday. Thank you.